courtrooms intrigue Americans. We hear frequently about the trial of the year, the trial of our generation, trial of a decade. We just gravitate toward trials. They intrigue us. There's been one going on even this week with the former governor of Illinois that's intrigued us. Everybody was waiting. Is he going to talk? And his lawyers told him, no. The first time in the history of America that Governor Blagojevich was told not to talk, and he didn't. There's another trial in the wings just waiting. This one will grab the attention of America. I honestly doubt it'll ever come to pass, but if it does, when Charlie Rangel is tried by his own peers in the House of Representatives in Washington, it will be like nothing you have ever seen in your life if it comes to trial. I will watch that. There have never been so many lawyers in one room in all your life. If they do that with the congressman of over 40 years on ethics violations, they probably will settle. I hope they do. America really does not need that mess. But while we see trials among us, there are times when God brings a case against us. And I want us to look in the Old Testament book of Micah today, in Micah 6, the first 8 verses, where God gives a verdict in the cosmic courtroom about His people. This is not about a pagan nation. This is about His people, and it could be said about His church today. God brings a case against Israel. The case comes to court for adjudication. Israel has forgotten Yahweh's generous deeds, and she has turned her back on God. She has become so involved in busy ritual that Israel has lost her heart religion. In Israel, in Micah's day, morals were low, government was decadent, the courts were corrupt, religion was formalistic, and integrity was absent. And Micah the prophet, a man at odds with his time. Anytime you hear a prophet, he's always at odds with his times. And Micah reasserts God's requirements for all of us. Look at it in Micah 6. The court is called in verse 1. Hear now what the Lord is saying. Arise, plead your case. Plead your case before the mountains. Let the hills hear your voice. Listen, you mountains, to the indictment of the Lord. And you are enduring foundations of the earth, because the Lord, look at this, the Lord has a case against His people. Even with Israel, He will dispute. My people, what have I done to you? And how have I wearied you? Answer me. Indeed, I brought you up from the land of Egypt and ransomed you from the house of slavery, and I set before you Moses and Aaron and Miriam. My people remember now what Balak, king of Moab, counseled, and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and from Shittim to Gilgal, in order that you might know the righteous acts of the Lord. He's brought charges against them. They've forgotten their past. They've turned their back on holy God, and he brings the case against Israel. Then Israel speaks, "With what shall I come to the Lord and bow myself before the God on high? Shall I come to him with burnt offerings and with yearling calves? Does the Lord delight in thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts?" Then look at this question. "The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul." Don't you dare miss that line. Dear friend, there is nothing that you can give as the fruit of your body for the sin of your soul. You cannot bring an offering large enough. You cannot bring a burnt offering. You cannot bring a gold offering. You cannot bring your own family to give your children. Say, "Oh God, I'll give my family to you." No, no, no. Then Micah speaks in verse 8. "He's told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." Here's the case. We're guilty. At Olive Baptist Church, we're guilty. Our worship often becomes ritualistic, not heartfelt. It often becomes that we just simply go through the motions and we come and we stay an hour and a half, and then we go home and we come in and we're moved but never changed. We never weep, we never wail, we never cry out to God, we don't repent. We just do what we've always done. Our worship has become ritualistic, and God says, "I've got a case against you. I've got something to require of you, Olive Baptist Church. I'm not looking for the fruit of your body to pay the price for the sin of your soul. I've already paid for the sin of your soul with the giving of my own son. But now I do require some things from my people." I read the news journal, as I most often do, and you know my habit, as I've shared with you. I usually read the opening page, then I go and find the editorials. You have to hunt them now. They're moving them around different sections. Used to be in the front section, then in the local section. You have to hunt to find them. Then I go to the comics, better known as the letters to the editor. And on the 15th day of this month, there was a letter to the editor in the Pensacola News Journal entitled "God's Tears." It got my attention. So I read that letter, and here's what it says. Mike Robertson from Gulf Breeze wrote in, and they print his letter, and here's what Mike said. "God asks only three things of us." That got my attention. Number one, to seek God with an open mind in all places. Number two, to emulate God as best you know him. As best you know him. Sounds like any old God will do. Third is that we respect and care for God's creation. Well, there's some grains of truth in what Mike said, but I'd rather hear what Micah said than what Mike said. I don't know Mike Robertson. Thank God for a man that has courage to write a letter to the editor. I wish more Olive Baptist Church would be theologically informed and write letters to the editor of the Pensacola News Journal. It's free, but it comes with a cost, because some preacher may quote you and read your letter on television, radio, and send it around the world on the internet. So be very careful. It takes courage to go public. I'm grateful for Clay Ingram. I introduced you, my friend. I'm grateful for Clay just to have guts to run. I'm grateful for members of our church that have guts to run from time to time. That'll step out and go public with their faith. But going public has a cost. Be careful and know what you're saying when you go public. Mr. Robertson said God required three things. I don't know that he had read Micah, but I'm here to tell you Micah said God requires three things of his people. And I want you to look at these requirements with me for just a moment today. Here's what God wants out of you, Olive Baptist Church. This is what he wants out of his preacher. Number one, requirement number one, do justice. Do justice. Psalm 37, 28 says, the Lord loves justice. Isaiah 30 and verse 18 says, the Lord is a God of justice. What is justice? Well, if you go out on the streets of Pensacola today, and if you went over to the mall and you ask middle school girls what's justice, they would tell you it's a girl's clothing line. If you went to our youth group today and says what's justice, they would probably tell you it's a contemporary band. While justice is a contemporary band and while justice is a line of female clothing, I want you to know that justice in the Word of God is setting right that which is wrong according to the rule and law and dictate of Holy God. Justice. Somebody that walks in Olive Baptist Church ought to be able to find justice. We ought to do the right thing, not sometimes. We ought to do the right thing every time. That's what God's looking for out of his church. It's what people look for in the church. It was an amazing story that came to the American political culture this week when that poor lady that got up and tried to make that speech at the NAACP, and then she got fired by the White House, and then she got reinstated by the Department of Agriculture. And I never heard so many people get on and pontificate about justice, justice, justice. Just do the right thing. Church, let me tell you, if there's ever been a day when this church needs to be doing the right thing, now's the time. We need to be salt and light and godliness and goodness in this world. We need to find what is right and do it every time. What does God require? Justice. Do justice. Number two. The second requirement in this text when he adjudicates this trial is that he says love kindness. Do justice and love kindness. We sing this song sometimes. It's out of Psalm 63 and verse number 3. Those of you that are over 50 years of age don't like it. That lumps me in because I have a hard time keeping up with it. Your loving kindness, what is it, Brother Leo? It is better than life. We sing that song sometimes, don't we, choir? Your loving kindness is better than life. And it gets kind of rambunctious up here in the orchestra when we sing that song. But that's what Psalm 63:3 says, that the loving kindness of God is better than life itself. What does God require? That you do justice, that you love kindness. Now, this word kindness is the word hesed. It is the most powerful word in the Old Testament for the love of God. It is the equivalent of the New Testament word grace. It's the word all through the book of Hosea. When God said to Hosea, I want you to love Gomer. And you know Gomer was a prostitute. And she gave herself to the world. And God said, I want you to love her and show hesed unto her. That's loving kindness. Why anybody can love folks that are pristine and clean and good and loving. He's saying that we ought to show loving kindness, that we ought to love kindness to the down and out, to the hurting, to the sinner, to the bankrupt and the bruised and the battered and the broken. That's what the church is supposed to do. We're supposed to love kindness. Supposed to love like God loves. God's love loves beyond the law. It loves the lawbreaker. Now justice draws a line, and we got to draw the line and do right. But when the law is broken, we must love kindness. Love like God loves. You know how God loves? He loves you, and you're not much. Matter of fact, the Bible says you're a sinner, just like this preacher. says you're dead in trespasses and sin. Says that in our flesh there is no good thing. There is none righteous, no, not a one of us. And yet Jesus loved us. That's the way he does. He loves us when we're far away. And the way he loves is the way this church is supposed to love. We're to forgive those who come in repentance, that come toward God. We are to reach out and love them. Love, kindness. The year was 1981. Pope John Paul II was riding through town and a Turkish terrorist shot him several times. They didn't know if the Pope was going to live or die. He lived. And 2 years later, that Polish Pope, John Paul II, walked into the cell of that Turkish terrorist and knelt down there with him, sat with him as that young man stood and forgave him what that man had done. I was reminded of this in a conversation I had this week, and I went back and reminded myself of this man. He is no doubt, from what they tell us, mentally imbalanced. Tried to kill the leader of the Catholic Church. And the Pope. It's headlines all over the world. When he went in and said, "Son, I forgive you." Isn't our preacher, we're not Catholics. No, no, we're a long way from that. We're not that. But what a great illustration. I want to ask you, somebody shot you. I know my response. I'd be like Peter. I'd be pulling out a sword, cut somebody's ears off. Amen. That's our natural inclination, but we're not supposed to be natural people. We're supposed to be supernatural people. So that we not only do justice, we love kindness, and when they do wrong to us, we love them in Jesus' name. Can I get a witness? Amen. That's who we are. And what God says is, I'm finding in my people, they're not doing justice, they're not doing right, nor are they loving kindness. We need a good boatload of love. Amen. We're to love kindness. We're to do justice, requirement number one. We're to love kindness, requirement number two. And then he gives the third requirement in this text. I want you to look at it. To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. To walk humbly. Now, this word humbly in Micah 6:8, it is the only time in the Word of God that you'll find this word right here. Only time that you find it in all the Bible. It is sanah is the word. T-S-A-N-A-H. Sanah is the Hebrew word. It is the only time it is found in all of Scripture. And it means to be humble, to be modest, to be submissive. That we are to walk under the hand of holy God. Now, I want you to hear me. We're going to do something to end this service. So I'm preaching short and preaching fast this morning. And we're going to end this service like we ended service last Sunday night when we had just a handful of people here. Here in just a few minutes, we're going to end this service with an invitation. And I'm going to ask nobody to leave. Nobody to go out a door. When the piano begins to play here in a few minutes, I'm going to ask you in that balcony around, I want you to get with your family, and I want you to go to the back wall of this church. And I want the leader to gather up, those that are in this ground floor, to go around these walls that are right here, down these side walls here, choir, along that way. Some of you will need to come up here and walk along these walls that are on the side. Here's what we're doing. We're pointing toward January to turn this place into a wailing wall. Not the wailing wall, but into a wailing wall. Nothing spiritual about these walls. They're made out of brick mortar just like the ones at your house. But they are dedicated to the place of worship. And I'm going to ask you this morning before you leave that you go to one of these walls and you humble yourself and put your hands up on that wall, and I want you to pray for yourself, for your family, and I want you to pray for God to shake the foundation of Olive Baptist Church and send a move of God among this church. That we'd see the power of God come, and it'll only come when we get humble enough to ask for it. Jesus said it this way, "He that exalts himself will be brought low, but he that humbles himself will be lifted up." Amen? It's Jesus' favorite verse in all the Word of God. He said it more than he said anything else in the Bible. It's quoted three different times. The only thing that Jesus said that is quoted on three different occasions, the same teaching in three different places through the Gospels, Jesus said that again and again and again. He that exalts himself, God hates pride, makes him puke. He did in Revelation 3, it makes him sick. The word literally is that he will vomit us out of his mouth. He hates pride. Pride goes before a great fall. Oh, but when he finds humble people, submissive people, people that are low before God, he gets ready to raise them up, raise them up, raise them up. Now, turn in your Bible one last verse before we get ready for invitation. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12. There are other requirements that God gives us. We don't have time to look at all of them today, but I want you to look at this over in Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. He asked the same question. Now, Israel, Deuteronomy 10, 12. Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you but to fear the Lord your God and to walk in all of his ways and to love him and serve the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. Verse 13 goes on to say, and to keep the Lord's commandments and his statutes, which I am commanding you today for your good. What is it that God requires of us but to fear the Lord, to walk in all his ways, to serve him with all of your heart, with all of your soul? We are to fear him, to obey him, to love him, to serve him. What does God require? Micah says, do justice, love kindness, and to walk humbly. Now here, I want you to listen. Piano players at their place beginning to play. In just a moment, when the piano starts, I'm going to ask no one else to leave this room. This is not a time to slip out. You say, preacher, I'm running. No, you're not running late. I'm way early this morning. That's the shortest message you've ever heard me preach. Because the sermon is not over until we do this. In a moment, we're going to be at all these walls, and we're just going to pray out loud. Not ever, but you're going to gather your family up. And you're just going to go there. It'll take a few minutes, and we're just going to pray, and the choir is going to go to a wall somewhere, and up that wall on the side, and down this wall, and around the balcony, in the back. And it may be two or three deep where you are. It'll be all right. I want us to symbolically go to these walls and pray, oh God, shake us. Shake us till this church becomes all you want it to be. Lord, here's my life. Here's my life. Now, watch this. You're here today and you've never trusted Jesus. You've never been changed that we talked about. You've never asked Jesus to come into your life. You couldn't sing that song, "Since Jesus Came Into My Heart," because he never has, and you'd like to be saved today. While everyone else is going to the wall, I'm going to be standing right here, and I want you to come, and we're going to give you to an encourager. And I'd like four or five of my encouragers to come hang out down here with me. We'll give you to encourager, and they'll go to encourager room with you, and they'll sit down, and they'll tell you how you can know the Lord. You're here today, and you say, preacher, I came, but I'm planning to join this church. Good, I'll be standing right here waiting on you. You come and put your life put your membership right here at Olive, out of that balcony. Now, see, it'll be easy to come today because everybody's going to get out of your way. They're about to all move, okay? Because we're going to all just go to the wall and pray. So, no, preacher, I don't have to do. No, you don't. You don't have to do that. I'm asking you to do it. As your shepherd, I'm asking you to do it. So, well, I don't know if I'm. Yeah, you'd be capable. You might go and just sit on the end of the bench right there. That'll be fine. Just sit there. If you can't get up and stand or whatever, somebody help you get there. So I'm in a rolling chair. They'll roll you there. Well, preacher, what's the deal? Nothing magic? Not at all. But I'm here to tell you, if God ever gets all of his people praying together about one thing with holiness, I'm here to tell you, if we humble ourselves, God's going to raise us up, go to new heights we've never seen before in all our life. You say, I'm here by myself. Well, go pray by yourself or find a friend. If you're here and you and your wife, go over here, Eric and Jody, and Eric will go and be there with his wife and pray at that place. Dale Mansfield, take his wife, you go, and he's going to pray at that wall, be there. Just somebody lead that group and just have I want you to pray out loud. Then don't leave. Just when you get done, just turn around and stand still. And we'll come to our conclusion of this service. What does God require? Do justice. Love kindness. And walk humbly with your God. Seek him with all of your heart. And with all of your soul. If you've never been saved, come right here. If you want to join this church, come right here. You got a decision you need to publicly make today, the call of God in your, come right here. But right now, I'd like us all just to rise and begin to quietly go toward the walls, toward the walls, toward the walls, toward the walls. Nobody leaving the building, just toward the walls, and we'll pray, and we'll pray, and we'll pray. Amen. Just go to the wall, and begin to pray.